Well, sometimes our leaders tell us to question authority, and I'm like, who are you to tell me to question authority? What if Jesus just wanted us to be kind to each other? He didn't have a clerical collar, a rosary, a mace, or a Pope mobile. He didn't have a cathedral. There's one thing Jesus didn't have that makes me sad. He didn't have a pipe organ. I know it's controversial, right? What he did have was stories, made up stories, not to be taken literally, called parables. We've heard a couple already this morning. They illustrated kindness, care for others, and care for oneself. He said we should love our neighbors as much as we love ourselves. And he said that if we love our neighbors as much as we love ourselves, that's pretty much the same thing as loving God with your entire being. Now, I don't want to start a spiritual crisis here today. Or maybe I do. But all you atheists out there, because we do have more unabashed atheists in this congregation than in all the other congregations in Greenville combined, I'm pretty sure of that. All of you unabashed atheists. Yes, Steve, we know. All you unabashed atheists, if you've been visiting prisoners, taking widows to dinner, giving toys for tots, visiting your friends in the hospital, you may be unintentionally, accidentally loving God with all your heart. You know who you are. Just get over it. On the other hand, if you go downtown and stand outside the Anthropology store and hand out God's simple plan of salvation and tell the children that they're going to hell and pray loudly in public so other people can hear you and warn people about Muslims and say we should keep out the refugees, I'm not going to say, because Jesus said not to judge. But I do believe Christianity has been hijacked, because real Christianity is hard. Loving everyone around you as much as you love yourself is really hard. Do you know anybody that does it all the time? Now, sometimes it does happen. There's a fellow from Greenwood named Gray Davis. He went to the Governor's School for the Arts, studied ballet, did so well. He was recognized as a future star even then, and went to New York. Jim and I saw him right before he moved, at about the time of his graduation. And he was in the news just 4 weeks ago. He had been injured, so he wasn't performing, but his wife was performing in the American Ballet Theater. And on their way home, to take the subway home, there was kind of a brouhaha, a stirring, a conflict next to the tracks of the subway. He went upstairs to find somebody. There was nobody in the booth to help. So he came back downstairs, and it was getting worse. And this woman pushed this 58-year-old homeless man on the tracks, and he was unconscious. And Gray looked around and said, "Is somebody going to help this man? Is somebody going to help him? He's down there. The train's coming." Nobody moved. So he jumped down onto the tracks. And this was like a 250-pound man. Gray Davis, you know how ballet stars are built. They're not like power lifters, Olympic power lifters. They're just muscular, but they're slim, right? But he jumped down. He lifted ballerinas before, but never a 250-pound homeless man. He gets him on his back. The train's coming. He staggers over to the platform, and then people help get him off of his shoulders onto the platform. And he said later, he didn't realize how high a platform is, but he's a ballet dancer, so he was able to lift his leg up, and people helped him back up onto the side. But he could have died trying to rescue this man. Sometimes superheroes wear tights. And he was in Metropolis. So there may be not that much difference between a real Christian and a superhero. Although they did a study some years ago of people in France who rescued Jews during the Holocaust. And there was something different about these people. They didn't just suddenly become heroes. Up until that time, they had performed many small acts of kindness. This is something we can all do today. We may not find a guy on the tracks in the subway, but we can always be ready for that opportunity when it comes by just being kind every day, loving our neighbor as ourselves. So, what if you were in a position of power 2,000 years ago, a priest or a provincial governor, and this man comes along and challenges your authority by saying the world is coming to an end and we should all be kind to each other? They tried killing him, but that didn't end the message. They tried killing his followers. That didn't end the message. And then they stumbled upon a solution. You hijack the religion. You put yourself in charge of it. Redefine what it means to be Christian. Instead of persecuting Christians, you persecute the people who aren't Christians and call yourself a Christian. It took decades, perhaps centuries, to gain control, ecclesiastical control once again. But that's what happened. Take this challenging faith of kindness and love. Turn it upside down. Shake it real hard till all the hard parts fall out. And you've got yourself a new way to control people and dominate human civilization. If you can't destroy Christianity through suppression, co-opt it. Destroy it by taking it over. Now, there's an irony in this. Jesus was a rebel against ecclesiastical authority. But if it weren't for ecclesiastical authority that hijacked his teachings, but also preserved them, we might not even know who he is today. We wouldn't know his ethical teachings, which resonate with many of us even today. Now, what if you stripped away all the accretions of doctrine, vicarious salvation, blood of the Lamb, that came along after the death of Jesus? Thomas Jefferson, who called himself a Unitarian, wondered the same thing. He took a penknife to the scriptures and some glue and created what is sometimes called the Jefferson Bible. It was a lot thinner when he finished with it. He left out all the references to supernatural acts, including healings, virgin births, and the resurrection, though he did permit mention of angels, heaven, hell, and Noah's flood. Jefferson ended up with a small volume that had its main feature, the sayings of Jesus. He said he studied this book every night. Jesus is sometimes admired by non-Christians as a great ethical teacher, but according to scholars, that's not how he viewed himself. He taught an apocalyptic worldview. The existing world order would collapse within the lifetime of his followers, not in some distant future time. The Son of Man would arrive on a cloud, and the world would be transformed. There would be peace, justice, abundance, health, eternal life in a world ruled by a divine Son of Man. But Jesus did not see himself as that Son of Man. He did not see himself as divine. He was a prophet, an apocalyptic successor to John the Baptist, foretelling the new world order. His teaching of justice, love, forgiveness, and healing were a foreshadowing of the way the world would be after the apocalypse. Was he the Messiah? Messiah is the Hebrew word for the anointed one. The early kings of Israel, Saul and David, were anointed by the prophet Samuel when they became king. And according to the scriptures, the prophet promised David that his blood descendants would be kings of Israel forever. And that did go on for 500 years until the Babylonians under Nebuchadnezzar invaded and overthrew the king of Israel. And it was kind of a desperate situation. But the Jews believed that one day a leader would rise up, even in the time of Romans, which were in power, not the Babylonians at this time of Jesus, but a leader would rise up, a descendant, a direct bloodline descendant of David, overthrow the invaders and rule as king of Israel. There would once again be an anointed one, a Messiah, on the throne of Israel. Christ is just the Greek word for anointed. The Jews did not expect the Messiah to be someone who was killed and resurrected. And the idea of vicarious salvation, that the Messiah could be sacrificed and wash away all our sins without our having to do anything but just believe, that was made up after Jesus' death. How did he see himself? We can't overlook the apocalyptic character of his teachings. One of those parables that we heard about visiting the sick, if you put it in context, it's an apocalyptic context. He's talking about a judgment that the ones who did this would be on the right, the ones who didn't do it would be on the left, the ones who did it, who were on the right, they would go into the kingdom, the ones on the left, they would go to hell. It was an apocalyptic teaching. So everywhere that you find the teaching about kindness and justice and peace and forgiveness is in an apocalyptic context. I'm taking a lot of my information from a series of lectures called How Jesus Became God. It's a startling title. It's part of the great courses issued by the teaching company. In these lectures, according to Professor Bart D. Ehrman, Jesus taught ethics, but it was not for how to get along for the long haul, because there wasn't going to be a long haul. The kingdom was coming soon, and people needed to prepare for it. The ethical behavior was to allow you to enter the kingdom, and it wouldn't be long. Also, by observing Jesus' teachings, you'd be able to see what life would be like in the kingdom. No poverty, no war, no disease. So Jesus saw himself as a prophet of a coming kingdom, not as God. His death caused a crisis among his followers, a crisis. Imagine this. They had this idea of what was going to happen, what he told them, and then one day he's dead. But this crisis was resolved by visions suggesting that he was still alive and among them. Now, the mission of the human Jesus was a failure. He predicted the apocalypse within the lifetime of his followers, and it didn't happen. But his ethical teachings live on and resonate today. I really love that story of the Good Samaritan. It's not the person in power, either ecclesiastical or legal, not somebody from the government or the head of the church. He was somebody in a despised sect of Judaism that came to the rescue. And that's how our neighbor is defined, as someone who loves our neighbor as ourselves. Sadly, many Christians cling to a doctrine of blood sacrifice while neglecting the teaching that we should love our neighbor as ourselves. But the wisdom of Jesus still resonates today. If there is an interdependent web of existence and we are all a part of it, we are all connected. If I suffer, we all suffer. If I'm in want, we are all in want. If you visit the prisoners, tend the sick, and feed the hungry, if you are loving your neighbor as yourself, if you love your neighbor as yourself, you're loving the interdependent web with all your heart. Back in the 1960s, during the Vietnam War, I was a student at the University of Wisconsin. There was tear gas. There were riots. There were explosions. There were buildings blowing up. And people died. I had a friend, a sad, melancholy Jewish friend. If he'd let his hair grow and a beard grow, he would have passed for Jesus. And he said, "I'm waiting for the apocalypse." Today, again, I would say we live in apocalyptic times. Like the Vietnam era, like the time of Jesus, I feel safe in saying, however, the apocalypse ain't going to happen. But it's never too late to love our neighbors as ourselves. And maybe it's up to you. Love God with all your heart. According to Jesus, it was exactly the same thing.
Please rise as you are able and join us in singing the closing song, number 203, All Creatures of the Earth and Sky.